Mark 10, verse 35. Mark 10, 35 to 45. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. And I just ask that you would come and speak to us today. And I humble myself before you. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in this story, it tells us that James and John, which were two of Jesus's 12 disciples that had a special place with Jesus. Right before this story, we see Jesus taking with him Peter, who was always considered to be the leader of the 12 disciples, and James and John will go with Jesus. Those three were in the inner circle of the inner circle of the 12, right? Those three were always with Jesus. Whenever Jesus wanted to do something in a more private setting, he would take these three guys, Peter, James, and John. And so they were always included, and they come to him and they say to him, "Hey, can you do something for us?" And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they say, "Hey, when you come into your glory, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left hand." If you look at this, if you look at Matthew chapter 20, the same story is mentioned in Matthew 20 from verse 20 of Matthew chapter 20. But in this version, it is not James and John that ask Jesus. It's actually their mother. Okay, so I just want to bring a quick explanation to that. So one version in Matthew will say the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, and she asks him the same thing. "Hey, can you grant that my two sons sit on your right and your left?" So what's happening? Was it the mother or was it the two sons? Well, I think it was probably the mother, but here's the explanation as to how do we reconcile that. Was it the mother? Was it the two sons? The real answer is it doesn't really matter, as in it happened. So you have to understand the gospel writers, they're not so concerned with keeping everything to the T, accurately telling the story. They just want to tell the story that these two guys asked to be sat on right and left of Jesus. And so can you imagine if I were to ask let's say we go through, let's say we had Sunday service 2 days ago, and I ask Juhi to kind of tell the story of, hey, what happened on Sunday? I don't know. I'm just making this up right now. But if we were to ask her, she might say, oh, yeah, Pastor Mary preached on the parable of the lost sheep, right? But then let's say we ask somebody else. Let's say we have asked Miriam. Maybe Miriam might say, well, actually, Pastor Sam decided that we're going to learn on the parable on the parables. And so Pastor Sam told Pastor Mary to preach on the parable of the lost sheep. Who's correct? Both of them are correct, right? Both of them are correct. They're just one is telling a more detailed account of what happened. Pastor Sam decided that the pastors are going to go through a series of parables and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then Pastor Mary preached it. And Juhi might skip all of that and say, oh, yeah, Pastor Mary preached on it. And it's the same account told differently. So there's a difference between contradiction and just difference in details. And that's what's happening here. So my understanding would be, yeah, I think the mother came and asked Jesus, hey, can you do this and that? But maybe somebody else telling the story, some one person that is concerned with details would say, so this is what happened. James and John came, but they were too chicken to ask Jesus themselves, and so they got their mom to come, and the mom asked it. Whereas somebody else that are just not concerned with details, but so indignant about what happened, they would say, can you believe what John and James did? This is what they asked Jesus. And so they skip the detail about the mother. So that's kind of what's happening in the two accounts. So you don't have to be worried like, oh, is the Bible contradicting itself? You know, is the two story not compatible with each other? So in any case, they come. Some traditions actually say that John and James were cousins of Jesus. So the mom that comes is actually Mary's sister, right? Jesus' mom, mother of Jesus' sister. So you can kind of see how she could come in from that angle and say, hey, nephew, these are your cousins, you know? So when you come into your glory, can you make sure that, come on now, you know? Peter, unrelated, these are your cousins. Let's make sure, you know, we take care of each other. And so I can see it from that angle. And so anyway, they come. They come and they say, can we sit on the right and left of you? And first we see a misunderstanding of their idea of who Jesus was. You know, Peter will say a few, maybe a chapter or two before this, Peter actually says, hey, you are the Messiah. You are the coming king. You are the one that we have been waiting for. And Jesus doesn't correct him. He says, actually, you're right. You're right. But keep it to yourselves. And from then on, Jesus will go on to teach them, hey, the kingdom that I'm bringing is not this earthly kingdom. I'm actually going to die on the cross and be resurrected. But they don't understand any of that. All they're thinking is, he's the coming king. He's going to restore the kingdom of Israel, and he's going to be the king. I don't know how it's going to work, but he's going to be the king. And so that's all they're thinking. All they're thinking is, you're going to be a king here on earth, and I just want to make sure that I also get the place of honor. And so they misunderstand the kingdom of Jesus that he's talking about. But I want to get to this idea of ambition, you know? This idea of wanting to be first and wanting a place of honor. So they come and they ask him, can we do this? Can you grant that we sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory? So these guys didn't understand the kingdom of God in that sense. But we do, right? We understand what the glory truly is, that it's the second coming, you know, that it's the restored earth and heaven, you know, it's going to be this otherworldly kingdom of God that's going to come. And in that place, in that kingdom, are we seeking for a place of honor and a place of recognition? So Jesus answers in verse 38, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup and be baptized? And they say, yes, we're able. And then he says in verse 40, to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. I don't know if you've ever wondered, but when I just read this, when I read it, I thought, oh, so I wonder who then gets to sit at Jesus' right hand and his left hand. Did you guys ever wonder that when you read that? So it's not James or John. Then who is it? And you know what my very next thought was? It was crazy. But my very next thought was, could it be me? So obviously no, but that was my thought. I was like, oh, so I wonder. So my immediate reaction was, oh, okay. So who gets to do it? And almost like, what do I have to do then to be granted this seat of honor, this recognition, this kind of to be lifted up in that way? And I don't know if you can relate with that. But I'm assuming if I struggle with that kind of longing to be lifted up and recognized, there's probably other people in the church that have the same thing. You know, we're worried about ourselves and wanting to kind of be recognized and to be noticed and to be seen. Anyway, I don't think it's going to be me, so don't worry about it. But it was just interesting. But Jesus says, it's not for me. Jesus is saying, that's the wrong question. I don't even get to decide it. And it says, it's been prepared already for somebody. So we don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to be there. But I guess what Jesus is saying is, trying to tell them is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. But it's so interesting because right after that, the other 10 disciples, can you just imagine? It's so funny. The other 10 disciples, maybe they overhear, and it says they began to feel indignant. Indignant is anger, but also with this sense of injustice. So it's like, how could they? You know, what the heck? What do they think they are? How could they do this? And so they begin to feel indignant, and then Jesus has to come in and say, guys, you have it all wrong. It's not about who's going to be first, who's going to get the seat of honor. But he's saying, can you just forget about it? Can you just let that go and focus on this one thing? Just serve. Just serve one another. Just be a servant. So he's saying to Peter, just serve these guys, right? Don't worry about your position. And he's saying to whatever, maybe Thaddeus is a disciple, but he's never mentioned anywhere else other than the list of 12. And he's telling Thaddeus, hey, just be a servant. Just serve these people. And he's saying, don't worry about this kind of thing. And I think that's the word, same thing for us, you know, just serve one another. Just serve. Can you serve somebody else in the church? So, I think if we seek to serve one another, God will take care of you. If you seek to serve the person sitting next to you, he will take care of you. I would say even something like retreat, I have always felt this way. You know how people always, they just want a word from Bobby. they want a word from the Lord, but they think Bobby's going to be the one to give it to them or somebody else that comes, and they just want the word. And so some people are very aggressive in lining up and cutting through lines and et cetera. And sometimes we like encourage it because we're like, yeah, you know, go for it. Be what's the word? Aggressive. You know, don't be passive. Be assertive and go for it. And I think that's true. And I think in many ways it's good. But I think what's also true is if in those moments, if you choose to serve, let's say Janella is in line, and you know, you just know, man, Bobby's tired, you see Pastor Sam next to him, and you know what's going to happen. P. Sam's going to say, hey, let's give our speaker a rest, let's bring him back. That's what we do, by the way. If you're up here for ministry and it's a long time, and you see one of the pastors next to the speaker, that's what we're trying to do is, hey, we need to get the speaker into the office. Just take it easy. So that's what we're doing, trying to do. So, you know, just be understanding. But when you're in that situation and you see somebody else next to you, a fellow church member, I think in those moments you can serve that person and say, you know what? Why don't you get prayed for? And I think when you do that, God will take care of you. God, you don't need a Bobby Connor or Cheon to pray for you, for you to receive whatever, the breakthrough of God, the answer from the Lord, right? You have direct access to the Father, and I just think God will be more pleased with your heart that says, you know what, I really want to be prayed for, but I know my sister here wants it also, and I'm just going to serve this person. And, man, I think God will be happy with that. God will be happy with that. And don't do it just so you can be like, see, Lord, you know what I did. But you know what I mean? With a genuine heart of saying, I mean, I can lay this down. I can surrender this. And I think God will be blessed by that kind of an attitude. And, oh, and the second thing is sometimes I think as Christians, yeah, of course we want to be honored and we want to be recognized and we hope that God will recognize what we have done. But I think the good news is he already honors you, right? He already recognizes you. It's just that it probably won't be the way, like, sometimes in our earthly, like, ambition and, you know, it's our brokenness, it's our competitiveness, we want to be recognized in a certain way. Like, we want to be seen. We want to be noticed. We want God to say in front of everybody, this is my favorite son, or this is my favorite, this is what somebody has done. But I think what we need to cultivate and develop is, in our private lives, can we hear the Father saying to us, I'm so proud of you, well done, and you've done a good job. You know, I see what you're doing, and I'm happy with what you're doing, and I'm proud of you, and I approve of what you're doing. Because God already is doing that over us, I believe, that if you spend some time with God and say, God, am I doing okay? Am I leading my house church okay? God will say, man, I'm so proud of you. You're doing a good job. And privately, it'll come. Publicly, it may never come. Publicly, you may never hear anyone recognize you and notice you and whatever. You may never become servant of the month because for whatever reason, we just forget to put your name down, right? But privately, God is saying, man, you are servant of the month every month. You are my servant of the month. You're my child of the month, right? God is saying to you, I honor you. I'm so thankful that you're doing this well, and I'm so happy. And can that be enough for us? And I hope it is. And if it is enough for us, then I think it's not so big a deal. Do I get the right hand or the left hand? Does it even matter? No, because I know that between me and God, he sees me, and he likes me, and he's proud of me. And so let's do that. Let's cultivate that kind of private life with God, and let's serve one another. You know, SP, let's serve one another. Let's look for let's look out for the interest of the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. Yeah. Yeah. So let's do that. Janella is going to come and lead us in a song. Let's just go before God. Father, thank you. Thank you that, that in our private life with you, in our secret life with you, you're already affirming us, God. And when we have that, we don't really need the public affirmation. And God, help us not to chase after that. Help us not to chase after being noticed. Help us not to chase after the seat of honor, but help us to hear, God, what you're saying to us and really just receive. Yeah, help us to have a strong private life with you, God, so that we can, when we do ministry or whatever, when we live this life, we're not competing against one another. We're not doing that. And help us as a church to serve one another, God, to look for the best interest of our friends, our church members, instead of our own, and trust that you will take care of us, God. Thank you, Lord.
Show me.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 45 of today's passage says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And as the song suggests, it's Jesus. He is the humble King. He's the one that came and he led us by his example of serving and serving and serving and giving his life and giving his time, giving his energy, giving his strength to be a servant, to serve those around him. And that's what we're called to do. So God, help us to do that. You are the God of the humble. And help us to be humble as well, God, and to serve, to look out for others, God, and to not just look for our own self-interest, God, to not be so preoccupied with our ambition or making sure that I get noticed and I get recognized and I receive the honor that is due me. But God, help us, Lord, to lay those parts of ourselves down so that we may really be free to serve and to love those, God, around us, God. So we need you, Holy Spirit, God. We give our hearts to you, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. The first slide. Thank you. Let's pray for our church. You know, I think EMP is a great opportunity to pray for our church, you know. And that's one way we can really serve our friends and serve our community, not just serving ourselves. You know, not just pray for our own needs, but let's come and let's pray for our friends and let's pray with the same kind of fervency and desperation that we might pray for ourselves or our families. Let's pray for our church family members as well. Let's pray for healing for our friends. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor and God's leading. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. And let's pray for just against the wealth gap, something to be done. Let's pray for all these different ministries that we partner with. Let's pray for God's provision and anointing. Pray for all the churches here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for a revival, a move of the Holy Spirit. And let's specifically pray for those that are in distress, you know, families in distress and their children and the young people of Hong Kong and also domestic helpers here in Hong Kong. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for the staff. Thank you for praying for us. Please pray for Pastor Sam. He's away for another week and a half, maybe. So let's just pray that he would rest well and have a really great time in the States, and he will come back safe and refreshed. Pray for his family. Pray for Pastor Kenny. They're in Canada with his family, and Cadence also. So pray for a refreshing time, that they'll come back renewed and rejuvenated. And let's just pray for the staff to work well together and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray for our hospitality and hospitality team, welcoming and barista. They're looking for more people as well for baristas. So let's pray for the right people, and let's pray for a really good heart of hospitality, a good heart of serving the church and really loving the church. And so let's pray for these two ministries. Let's pray for the worship sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship. Let's pray for excellence. Let's pray for our equipment to function properly. And let's pray that through these ministries, that it will really facilitate a smooth, you know, service, God, that people will be able to not be distracted by anything, and really be able to encounter God. So let's pray for these three ministries. Let's pray for SPLI. We have guitar class today. This is our third class. Please pray for our students that they would really enjoy and have fun, and pray for God's just grace over them to practice well and to play to the best of their abilities. So let's pray for our guitar class. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. We just turn to you, God. Help us to spend some time with you. Help us to spend the whole day with you. Help us to be aware of your presence, God. And we submit this whole day to you, God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.